Hello, welcome to the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries. I'm your host, Bev Moore. My guest today is a well-known network television and film actor. Brian Anthony Wilson is my guest today. He is best known for playing the role of Detective Vernon Holley in the HBO TV series, The Wire. He has also landed roles in many other films and TV hits, including HBO's Mayor of Easttown, CBS Network's FBI Most Wanted, Blue Bloods, The Sopranos, the movie Ocean 8, Creed, and more. Stay with us. We'll be back with my interview with Brian Wilson after the break.
Said I woke up to the summer, shining through, calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new. Today, today, I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade. Today, today, ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
Joyful today.
I'm gonna be joyful.
Joyful.
Ooh. I'm gonna be. I'm gonna be joyful.
Today.
I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing. Yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today, today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your road. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that
today, today's the day.
Ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
Joyful. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy.
My interview with well-known actor Brian Anthony Wilson is coming up. When we come back, Brian shares how Hollywood award-winning actor Kevin Costner helped him land a role in the movie Postman that became his big break as an actor. Stay with us. We'll be back after the break.
Hi, I'm Carson Kressley. Of all the most valuable resources in the world, kindness is the most precious. For more than 140 years, American Humane has been working to make the world a kinder place for animals. Rescuing those caught in disasters, protecting animals on our farms, on the silver screen, and the world's remarkable and endangered species who need our care to help them survive. All of us can make a difference by making humane choices at the supermarket, in our choice of entertainment, and by supporting conservation and rescue efforts. It's not hard at all. Make being kind a lifestyle choice and visit AmericanHumane.org for simple ways you can help build a more caring, compassionate, and humane world for animals and for all of us.
I would like to welcome my guest, Brian Anthony Wilson. Brian is an actor and producer. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hi, Beth. Thank you for having me on. I'm honored to be here.
Brian, you're known for The Postman with Kevin Costner, and you played Woody.
Yes, and that was also, my very first film role.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So you you didn't take your first acting class until you were 23, and then that was your first big break with Kevin Costner in The Postman, correct? At age, what, 37?
Yes. Yeah, we made The Postman in, 1997. Yep.
Wow. Wow. So tell me how you landed that role.
I will tell you, Bev, and this is funny now because it's, you know, we're in 2023, 25 years later, but at the time, Mike Lemon, a casting director in Philly, unfortunately, he passed away, I think it's about a year ago now. But anyway, he did me a favor and taped these two scenes. My character, Woody, only had, you know, like six lines. He had a lot of screen time, but it was like a stoic kind of character, didn't say a whole lot, but he was, you know, he helped Costner become the postman. But anyway, so Mike did me a favor. He taped these two scenes for me, and this is how long ago it was. It was on VHS tape. So I had to FedEx the VHS tape, cassette tape, out to California. And my agent at the time, he retired now, unfortunately. But anyway, my agent at the time said, hey, the producers like you. They want to fly you out on location to Tucson, Arizona, where you'll meet Kevin. If he likes you, be prepared to stay for a rehearsal. If not, you'll be on the next flight back to Philly. I was like, oh, great. So I flew out there, and when I got out there, Mr. Costner was out location scouting. He produced it, directed, wrote it, and starred in it. He was even casting extras. He was wearing a lot of hats. But anyway, right before they led me back to this room, and above the room was a room number, which was 222, which is my birthday, February 22nd. So I was like, oh, wow, that's a good omen. Yeah, so Mr. Costner got in there. We, you know, he introduced himself, and I'm, you know, sitting in there with this Academy Award-winning icon, and we spoke about maybe 13, 14 minutes about the script, about the character, and about I had zero film or TV training or credits at the time. I had, you know, theater credits, but I had never done a film or a TV show, and after speaking, you know, like I said, 13, 14 minutes, he offered me the role, you know, man to man in this room, and it was just kind of surreal. I was like, I had to pinch myself, but and that's how my film career began on an $80 million budget. You know, 1997. I don't know what that translates to dollars. This, you know, probably $150 million, something like that. But I mean, that was one of the last, you know, times when a studio backed a star like that. You know, with that kind of autonomy. I mean, like I said, he was producing it, directing it, he wrote it, he starred in it, was casting extras, he was doing everything. But yeah, unfortunately, the movie did not translate well to audiences. But I mean, it's kind of like a cult classic now. There's, you know, people who really love the film. But it didn't. It was a bit of a flop when it came out in 1997. And they actually. I mean, he was a good sport about it. He did a little skit for the Oscars that year, and like he was on a Titanic in his postman outfit. So he kind of poked fun at himself. So he had a good sense of humor, but he was lovely to work with. I really learned so much. You know, being as my first film set that I was on. And he gave me a lot of screen time, and he trusted me with stuff because many times when we were filming, it would be the last shot of the day. We were losing light, and it would be like, all right, knock this out. You don't have, you got maybe one or two chances. And luckily, you know, I was up to the task. But yeah, it just was an amazing, amazing experience, you know. And it was funny because I learned a lesson about Hollywood pretty quick. You know, you're doing this big budget movie and they fly you out first class, put you up, get per diem, all that nice stuff. And then the very next film I did was a low budget independent film in New York where I slept on the director's floor for like 5 days. And, you know, I actually bought the crew some donuts one day. You know, it was just low. I was like, wow, I now I get how the industry goes. It's like you're on top, and then, I mean, not on top, but you know, shooting this big budget thing, and then the next thing you do is like this little low budget thing. So that was a good intro into the, you know, into movie making. It's like, no, it's, and you know, it's rare to get a job like that, you know, but I was blessed certainly to get it, and I will always, you know, credit Mr. Costner, and also have a soft, you know, a special place in my heart for him for giving me my intro to
that
film and him taking a chance on me. You know, somebody had no film experience, and it was a pretty, you know, pretty sizable role. I'm in the movie for like a half hour, and like I said, it's a lot of screen time. So he took a chance.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. You know, because how many people get that experience the first time out? You know, the first, you know.
Right. Especially not a, you know, not a big burly, bald-headed a guy who's, you know, 37 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens a lot with younger people, but not with somebody like me. But I was, you know, I guess it happened for a reason.
Yeah, you were the look they wanted. I mean, you fit the role, apparently, and you fit the package, and you were at the right place at the right time.
Yes, as they say, it's luck, timing, and sometimes the least of it is talent.
Yeah.
My interview with Hollywood actor Brian Anthony Wilson continues. When we come back, Brian talks about what it was like to work with Bradley Cooper, Jamie Foxx, and many other A-list actors.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Well, that pretty much got the ball rolling for you because you were also in some other big films. Let's see, Law Abiding Citizen. I don't know if it was a big film, but you were with some good, strong stars like Gerald Butler and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. Again, a quick little scene. I played a Homeland Security officer, but I don't even appear until 2 hours into the film. It's a scene where Gerard Butler's character, you know, he has to come through the security thing in City Hall. And we actually filmed in City Hall in Philadelphia. And then Jamie Foxx's character comes in after him. So, yeah, it was great to have a scene with, you know, both those, you know, big stars.
Right. And then you have another film, Limitless. You're with Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, I had three scenes with Bradley. I mean, he was amazing. Such a very gracious, very down to earth. We had finished filming one day and it was raining and we were headed back to the trailers and stuff. And there's a group of schoolgirls that saw him and they, you know, he stopped and took pictures with them. He's just so very down to earth. I actually did some like feature background. I had auditioned for a part on Silver Linings Playbook. David O. Russell movie, and I had auditioned for two roles, so I didn't get either of them. But then I was told that by the casting director that he requested me for this scene. It was a group scene, and it was just like a featured extra. I was playing a guy that was coming to take Chris Tucker's character back to this mental facility. But it was a scene with De Niro and Bradley and a bunch of other people, but you know, Bradley saw me, and it had been probably about 3 years since we shot Limitless, and he gave me a big hug. I didn't even think he would remember me, but he was so nice. And, you know, I met De Niro on the set, and I got a chance to see him work and watch him, you know, work too. So what a, you know, even though it was just basically an extra, featured extra part, it was a gift just to be able to watch these, you know, giants do their, you know, work on their craft. And mm-hmm. I just learned a lot just by, you know, being a fly on the wall in that little scene.
Right, I can imagine. Yeah, because I did notice that other one, Silver Linings Playbook. So I was wondering, you know, if you had another opportunity with Bradley. So.
Yeah, that one I actually auditioned.
Can you just answer that question? Yeah.
Yeah, I had auditioned for his directorial debut in A Star Is Born, but I didn't get that part. But that would have been great to work with him as a director. This is funny, when we were on the set of Limitless, he kind of was giving me some direction, and I was like, well, he's so bright, Bradley. He's very, very, very intelligent and such a compelling actor, but he's also, you know, he's fluid in a few languages. I know at least French and maybe Italian, but he's a very bright person and just such a gifted actor and very giving too, very generous. But he has a lot of thoughts on set too, even then when he was acting, but I think he was a producer on that too. But it was really great working with him. I learned a lot there too.
Well, Well, you know, they say that you are one of Philadelphia's busiest and most loved actors.
I don't know about the most loved, but yeah, I mean, I've been lucky to be busy. You know, I'm in rehearsals for a play now, and yeah, it's,
yeah,
so, I mean, it's,
yeah, so you're doing something right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it's kind of, what do you call that? I guess it's bittersweet.
So you mesmerize the audience. You mesmerize the audience.
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know about that, but it's, but
now.
It's tricky though, because I've had to, I mean, it's like catch 22 thing is, you know, and I've been doing a lot of theater because I needed the health weeks, you know, health insurance weeks, because I recently had my hip replaced like almost 3 months ago now, but I needed the insurance week, so I was turning down a lot of high-profile TV film stuff, and I mean, they were granted auditions. I recently just put something on tape for The Blacklist, and they were interested, but it was occurring during our first week of rehearsal, so I had to turn that down. I was a nice little guest star spot. But, yeah, it's like either, you know, it's, yeah, I've lost a lot of film TV work due to theater commitments. But, I mean, theater is, you know, my first love. I mean, I certainly like film and TV. It's much more, you know, lucrative financially. But, you know, theater cast a lot further in advance. Film and TV is usually pretty quick, you know, they're usually casting something and shooting it within a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm like, oh, darn it, I already committed to something months ago. So that's the tricky part of it. But I am fortunate to be able to work in all three mediums, and I love all three mediums. I mean, acting is acting, of course, but they, you know, film and TV require different muscles than, you know, when you're working on stage and having to reach, you know, several hundred people or whatever.
Yeah, I'd say you've done a pretty good job with 214. It's probably more acting credits by now, right?
No. I mean, and I think that's a little, what's the word? I can't think of the word. Over-exaggerated, but because there's a few projects that I haven't shot that I'm attached to, but, you know, in this business, there's always people looking for money or trying to get money for their project. So, and a couple of things have just went by the wayside because they didn't get funded. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably more around maybe about 190 something, maybe close to 200. But some things I've seen it on IMDb that are old. Yeah.
Uh huh.
I'm like, what is that going up there? Yeah.
You're like, where did that? How did that happen?
Yeah, and a couple of things. It's like, huh? I'm in this movie. Like, nobody told me. Yeah. So
welcome to showbiz.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's one credit on there that's definitely false, and that's Bad Boys 2. I don't even know how I got on there for that, but I am not in that movie. I would have loved to have been in it, but I'm not. But for some reason, it's under my credit, so I don't know how that happened, but I didn't put it up there, you know.
Oh, well, you're just that popular, Brian. You can't help it, you know.
Well, I would love to be in the next Bad Boys, the Bad Boys 4.
Well,
so if anybody's...
They want your name. Yeah, they want your name on everything that's popular, you know.
I'm sure somebody that's making their Bad Boys 4 will hear this, and maybe they'll reach out. Fingers crossed.
Right. Right. Well, let's talk about your other television appearances. I mean, the series such as Hack and Law and Order SVU, The Sopranos. I mean, that's a big one. And then
The Sopranos was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm mostly known for The Wire, the HBO show. But,
that
The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in all five seasons of The Wire. But The Sopranos was wonderful because they did invite me to the table read up in New York in Astoria's studio. So I was in the room with, you know, the late, great Mr. Gandolfini and the whole cast. I guess they had been on hiatus, so they hadn't seen each other for a while. So it was just nice being in there and seeing their camaraderie and just being a part of that thing and just being around them. I didn't get a chance to meet Mr. Gandolfini, unfortunately, because they were signing some stuff. But I met, you know, like the guy that played Paulie Walnuts, who unfortunately he passed away, I think, last year. And, you know, a couple of the other characters. But, yeah, that was amazing, and that was the most nervous I've ever been going into. And I had a call back, and when I walked into the room, there were about maybe 20 people, and David Chase was in the room, the creator of The Sopranos. So I was like, oh, my God. But I kept it together and did my little part, and, you know, I got cast. And right before I went in, the casting director was like, some of these people have been kind of blowing it out of the water, just, you know, keep it simple. And I was like, all right, I took that direction and tried and did that, and I got the job. And we shot two scenes. Unfortunately, they only kept one. This is a scene where Chris is, you know, Michael Imperioli's character is being, he's dressing me down for something I was trying to tell him. Paulie would do it this way, and, you know, he lost a bunch of money. And then in the second scene, I'm kind of consoling him, but I guess they ran out of time and they cut that one. But it was fun, you know, working. I mean, that was, you know, and that was at the beginning, early on in The Sopranos, so I don't think people knew how big it was going to be. But it was amazing to be a part of that, you know, and then even more better. I'm kind of using a phrase from Spike Lee, Mo Better. But even
better.
Being on the Wire, yeah,
right,
Mo Better. Because
right.
I had a recurring part on that,
funny.
And I learned so much on the Wire set.
Yeah.
Yeah, SBU I actually got because I took a class with Jonathan Strauss, who is now an executive producer. At the time, he was a casting director, and he was teaching a class in New York, which is the best film TV class I've ever taken. And as a result of that, he called me in, and he cast me. I was like 3 for 3 with him at one point. He cast me in two Law and Order SVUs, two different characters. I played a cop in one and a DMV employee in the other in a scene with Ice-T and Christopher Maloney. And then the other scene, I was a cop arresting his Maloney's daughter. And then he cast me in a film called See You in September with Whoopi Goldberg and a bunch of other people playing a cop. And it was Tamara Tooney's directorial debut. So, and coincidentally, it's shot the same day as the very last episode of The Wire is being shot, the last scene. And they wanted me to be there for that, but I had booked this Tamara Tooney movie, so I couldn't be there. So I was kind of bummed about that.
Yeah.
That would have been great to have been on the set for the last filming day. But it didn't work out that way.
There's a name that can silence every fear. There's a love that embraces the heartache, the pain, and the tears. Through my faith and my doubting, I know one thing for sure. His word is unfailing, his promise secure. Todo va a estar bien, everything will be alright. Hands. Your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness and the trials, he's faithful and he is true. The whole world's in his hands. He told us time, yeah. Oh, 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 everything will be alright. Oh, oh, oh.
Father, you say everything's gonna be alright. But my circumstances say I won't last through the night. I need your word to hold me now, need you to pull me through. I need a miracle, a breakthrough, I need you. They say you hold the whole universe in your hand, but my world's falling apart like it is made of sand. Am I small enough to slip through the cracks? Can you take my broken pieces and put them back? Give me faith, you believe you are on my side. Open my eyes and see you working in my life. Let the past remind me you never fail. And tell my soul it is well, oh. Y todo va a estar bien. Everything will be alright. The whole world's in his hands. Your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness, in the trials, he's faithful and he's true.
Padre, te confieso a corazón abierto que todo es muy incierto en este desierto. Mi vulnerabilidad está al descubierto. Siento que mi barca está muy lejos de su puerto. ¿Por qué será que ya no sale el sol en mis días? ¿Por qué mis noches son tan frías? ¿Por qué será que siento que me falta algo? ¿Por qué este camino gris se siente tan largo? Sé que estás sobrando aunque no te sienta. Sé que estás sobrando aunque no te vea. Sé que voy a salir de esta odisea. Sé que voy a ganar esta pelea. Sé que va a cesar esta marea temporaria. Que en ti yo viviré una vida extraordinaria. Que aunque no pueda entender, me consuela saber que
todo, yo sé que todo va a estar bien.
Todo va a estar bien.
Everything will be alright.
The whole world's in his hands. Your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness, in the trials, he's faithful.
This is the Bev Moore Show, live streaming on the iHeart Network and over 185 broadcast stations in 37 countries around the world. I'm Bev Moore. My interview with actor Brian Anthony Wilson continues. Stay with us to hear more about his successful career.
Hi, I'm EJ Williams for American Humane. For thousands of years, dogs have been our best friends in our worst times. Today, we're also learning that our best friends, millions of whom are abandoned each year, are often the best medicine when people are facing obstacles. To help both people and animals, organizations like American Humane have been working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, finding animals in need of forever homes and training them as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help our veterans, the elderly, and children overcome the daily obstacles of life. In this way, the rescued can become the rescuers. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Well, you've had a lot of experience. I'm just going to highlight just a few more films that you with some big stars that you've been in.
Sure.
Just so people know, okay? We won't really go over them in depth because I have some questions in the end that
sure.
I want to bring out and let everybody listen. But let's see. There's Ocean's 8 with Kate Blanchett and Sandra Bullock and Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
And then Glass with Bruce Willis and Samuel Jackson.
Yep. M. Night Shyamalan, what a guy. Great director, writer.
Yeah. And Faith with Ben Stiller and Edward Norton. Not Horton.
Yes. Keeping the Faith. That was Edward Norton's directorial debut. He's a prince.
That's right.
A wonderful young man.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I worked with him on Rounders as well. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, so you've got a big slate. I mean, it's big. When I told you when I got started reading it, I couldn't stop. It was like, oh, my gosh. So congratulations. Just congratulations to you for,
well, thank you,
for
Beth.
Everything that you've done. I'm just, you know, it was amazing to read. And so really what I want to ask you, well, you told me how you did it and how you got into it, but how did you, or how do you think you were able to stand out, you know, above the rest? and entertainment?
Wow, that's a great question, Bev. I don't know. If you know, I mean, I try to be as real and as truthful as I can anytime I'm on stage or in front of the camera. But, you know, I guess I'm a big guy. You know, I'm 6'3", and, you know, close to like 290 something. And I'm fair skinned with freckles, and I'm bald too. So I guess I have a kind of different look, because you don't.
A unique.
I don't see a whole lot of people that look like me on TV. I mean, maybe a few in the movies, but not a whole lot. So I guess I have a little bit of a different look. But, mm-hmm. you know, when you're a big, you know, black guy, usually you're either going to be a cop or a convict. And I played both. I played a lot of cops. yeah, probably about 20 or 30 of them. But, and people, some people will say, well, doesn't that get tiring? I'm like, no, because they're all different characters. They all have different motivations and different, you know, mm-hmm. things that drive them. So, but right. I think maybe my, you know, maybe my freckles kind of have helped, and I get those from my late father. So maybe that does help, you know, a black guy, a fair-skinned black guy with freckles. So,
Yeah, we can just wrap it up and say it's your unique look that you have. And a lot of times that is what makes or breaks us in entertainment, you know?
Yes.
And apparently that's what's helped you is your unique look that you have.
I think so. Like for the postman, you know, I mean, unfortunately, it was a derogatory term, but I mean, it was real. It was post-apocalyptic, and it, you know, the guy says it looks like you have some, you know, N-word in you, and they needed somebody who was, I guess, kind of ambiguous, because I am fair-skinned with freckles, so they wanted somebody
right.
that was light-skinned, and that you know, because sometimes, I mean, I've lost parts because I'm not brown enough. It's like, you know, because it's like they don't want to. Sometimes they don't want to hire somebody where people have to say, "Is he black? What is he?" You know, or you know, ethnically ambiguous.
Right.
So I have lost parts because of that. So, but that's the business too. You know.
Right. So tell me, what do you like about acting the most? What do you like about it the most?
You know, well, it's something that I because when I was in college, I mean, I didn't finish, unfortunately, and I was kind of aimless, but then when I discovered acting, when I took that acting class, I mean, I still sing, but I was singing with a R&B band at the time where I was going to this Freedom Theater, this black theater in Philadelphia, and I wanted to improve my voice, so I took I enrolled in singing class there, but as part of their curriculum, even if you were a singer, if you had to take an acting class and a movement class, and I did this thing, it's culminated in a, you know, showcase, and I did this, and I was like, wow. And then the next semester, I went back as an acting major, and I was in class for two weeks, and they, and not because I was a star, I mean, a grade or anything, but they had fired two people, and they threw me into this play. So I was like in a play before I even saw a play. And when I heard that, you know, the applause from the audience and that the response, it was like, you know, a drug addict getting heroin or whatever. It was just, I was hooked. And mm-hmm. I love that interaction with the audience, which, you know, people have asked me before, if you had to do only one thing, would it be, you know, film, TV, or theater? And I'm like, well, if I only could do one thing, it would be theater, because I just love that live interaction with the audience. There's nothing like it. It's exhilarating, you know, when they get it and you're vibing with them, you know. So it's that repartee with the audience and also being able to express myself artistically, you know.
Yeah. So would you say that's
just
the best part
yeah.
of the work? That's really the best part of it, right?
To me, yes. Yeah. And you know, touching people and them being, you know, moved by your performance, you know. And I've had people, you know, cry at a performance, and that's, I mean, not that I'm looking to do that, but I'm glad that they have been moved by you know, something that I did, you know. And, yeah, I mean, I've done a couple of one-man shows, too, which are kind of crazy, 60 pages of dialogue, and on stage by myself for almost 2 hours. That's, I mean, they almost broke me, but they made me a better actor and better person by doing them. But, yeah, there's nothing like that rapport with the audience, you know.
Right. Well, what would you say is challenging about bringing a script to life?
Oh, my goodness, so many things. I mean, just trying to do something. Right, you know, right now we're doing this August Wilson piece, and he has this, there's a rhythm to this. It's like doing Shakespeare, really. I call him the Black Shakespeare. But there's a certain cadence, there's a musicality to his work that if you don't get it right, it can really sound and be bad. I've seen bad productions of August Wilson plays, but if it's done right, it's a thing of beauty. It's you know, the challenge is just getting the language right, getting the rhythms right. And I think I have in this one like 7 or 8, like these long 1-2 page monologues. So there's so many challenges, and just trying to be authentic, you know, because it's, I don't know that I've played a whole lot of characters that are like me. I played people who aren't like me, which is a wonderful challenge to step into somebody else's shoes and to become that person, you know, somebody that's not like me. And it's like this, the guy that I'm playing now is an ex-con. He robbed a bank and he was an orphan. So it's like, oh my God, that's totally opposite of who I am, you know? So it's just that part of that. And it's like a puzzle. I know some people do puzzles, and when you're doing a character, that's the puzzle of it is trying to get those pieces to fit and making this other person come alive and be real and to make somebody believe that you are this person. You know, mm-hmm. So that's part of the challenge always, and just being authentic and being believable. You know, because
right.
some
so
people,
you have to really, yeah.
I'm sorry.
You have
go
to
ahead.
Really be creative. You have to really be creative, very creative.
Yes, you do. And I think also be able to get along with people, because there are people that are certainly a lot more talented than me. But I think I have a good reputation of being easy to get along with and play well with others, you know, because there's some people who are uber talented, but they're a pain in the butt to work with, and nobody wants to be on set with somebody for a month or, you know, 2 months when you're doing a play. If the people aren't, you know, amenable and affable and easy to get along with and you know, play well with others. So there's that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to...
So what is your strength as an actor?
My strength as an actor, I think, my listening skills, my stillness. I'm quoting some stuff, but people say I have a strong presence. I'm a big guy, I take up a lot of space, but I think I have a quiet kind of dignity that I usually imbue into a lot of my characters. That people have mentioned, and you know, they mentioned my presence a lot, and just the believability factor of just you know, when I speak, that it sounds like the truth, that it is the truth, you know.
In the storm, I've got strength in the battle. I don't fear anymore. I'm a child of heaven, and my hope is secure. I've got joy, 'cause I've got Jesus. I'm
During the pandemic, Brian Wilson says he took the time off to watch episodes of The Wire.
I'm Nyheim Hines, running back for the Indianapolis Colts and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Out of so many roles that you have performed as an actor, which one is your favorite and why?
I probably would say a stage piece that I did called King Headley II, written by August Wilson. And it's because... It was basically like playing Lear in Shakespeare. This character had everything, and he was just dynamic. It was a leading role, you know. And I'm a character actor, so, but you know, he had a wife in there, and it was a beautiful scene with us, you know. And this story arc was just, you know, and he actually dies at the end. So I mean, everything you could want to do on stage, or you know, this character just covered it all, you know. And that was, I think, my favorite role. You probably toss up between that and Thurgood. There's a one-man show I did about Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. So those are my top two. You know, but I would say probably King Headley, because, I mean, I love being on stage with other actors and communing and kind of disappearing into the role. And when you're doing a one-man show, you have to break the fourth wall that the audience is the other character in the piece. So you have to deal with them. But I'd rather kind of disappear and not deal with the audience and just deal with my castmates or whatever. So probably King Headley II, the play that I did. And, I think, you know, on as far as, you know, TV or film work is considered, I would say The Wire, which is, if I get recognized, you know, I used to get recognized once a month or whatever, but people recognize me from The Wire, my character, homicide detective Vernon Holley. So those are my faves.
Yeah, you were in like 19 seasons, am I right? You were Vernon Holley, right?
Five episodes, five seasons, 19 episodes. And I would have been in more episodes.
I would say 19 seasons is a lot. Okay. So
Law and Order SVU, I think they're on their 24th season. That's a rarity, of course.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I didn't think that The Wire went that long. But you know,
no.
I kept trying to think. You know, Vernon Holley. You were Vernon Holley. You were that detective. So I'm gonna have to go back and refresh and watch that again. Is what I'm gonna have to do. Yeah.
You know, Bev, I had never seen all of the episodes, and right when the pandemic hit, because I had hosted a trivia night thing at this bar. And these people kicked my butt because they had seen the show and probably watched it 3 or 4 times, and I had never seen every episode. So I took advantage of the pandemic, and episodes that I was in too, but I finally watched all of them in 2020. So better late than never, right? I was like, wow, darn good show.
Exactly. So where do you think it's playing right now? Is it on Netflix or Amazon?
It's on a bunch of different venues.
Streaming on a lot of them, so I can easily tell, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well,
I know HBO.
I'm going to find it.
Yeah.
Okay, so
HBO on demand to have them.
That's one thing I do. One thing I do is a ritual. What I do is everyone I interview on the show, I go back, maybe right, not right away, but eventually I always go and watch one of their shows or one of their TV series or whatever they were in, a film, doesn't matter. But I always go back. Yeah.
Well,
so The Wire is what I plan to go watch.
I'll tell you, the fourth season was the biggest arc of my character. In season one, I'm in two episodes. Season two, I'm only in one. The most episodes I'm in, I think, is season four. So
season four. FYI. Okay, I'm going to remember that.
Yeah.
I'm taking note right now.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
Well, I'm going to ask you one last question since we're about out of time here. And what would you suggest to budding actors and artists out there?
That's a great question, Bev. I always say to the young artist, anytime you get a chance to perform, even if it's just doing a reading or even doing a poem in front of your family, you know, take that chance to do that. And also, if you want to be on stage, go see theater, you know, go to Broadway, go to your local, you know, find out what's playing in whatever city you are in. There's always some type of live theater. Go to see theater. If you want to be good, you got to see good. You know, go to the movies, rent the movies, go, you know, look at a foreign film. Even though you can't understand the language, you can understand, you know, the acting, the motivations when somebody's doing something, you can tell that it's true. So you have to immerse yourself in the craft, you know, study. I know so many people are like, oh, I don't need lessons, but it's like, no, you do. There is a craft to acting. You know, learn your craft. And you know, and go see, you know, good stuff. Go see theater, go see film, support the arts, and you know, and immerse yourself, even if it's going to an art museum. You know, it's important to, I used to do that on my birthday, kind of treat myself. I'd get a bottle of champagne and go to the Philadelphia Art Museum and explore it and go through different parts and, you know, try to see a show that day too, depending on, you know, what day my birthday will fall. But, you know, because theater is dark on Mondays most of the time. So just immersing yourself in the arts and any chance you get to perform, even if it's a birthday party I've sung at funerals, I've sung at weddings. So just anytime you get a chance to work on your craft, take it and make sure you're studying it. You know, read you know, perform when you can. And I'm not good at this, but you got to network too, you know, because I recently had and I'd never been to New Orleans. That was amazing, but I got a part on AMC's Interview with the Vampire, and it was because a director that I had auditioned for years ago, 20 years prior, he didn't cast me in this role, but he said, I remembered you, and when I saw your headshot, I was like, yes, I'm going to work with him. And, you know, so 20 years later, so it got me, you know, a guest star role on Interview with the Vampire, and I got a chance to fly to New Orleans and be put up in a nice hotel and you know, shoot, but also, you know, explore a city that I'd never been to. So because somebody remembered me from 20 years prior.
That's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Hollywood actor Brian Anthony Wilson, known for playing the role of Detective Vernon Holly on the HBO TV series The Wire.
Thank you for listening to the Bev Moore Show, broadcasting on BBS Radio on the iHeart Network worldwide. I'm Bev Moore. Until next time, bye-bye.